money will show me what's most important. And the Bible is very clear on that. Jesus talked about money, but modern pastors don't. Why? I guess because they don't want people to understand finances the way God does. Really, I would think it would boil down to this. They don't want to offend anybody. Because you and I with money, we have got to be careful. As a picture of security, it's one thing that makes me feel self-sufficient. As a piece of extravagance, it gets me out on the fringe of this world. It lets me enjoy the things that the world is enjoying, and it entices me to keep partaking and keep partaking. So the car is nicer and the house is bigger and the stuff is more expensive. It's a trap either way, and we're going to see that today in Proverbs. I'm going to date myself this morning with a movie quote. Show me the what? Man, that was like, was that the 90s? I'd be far better off quoting Dumb and Dumber right now. But I remember that quote. I don't remember much about that movie. Show me the money. There's a problem with that. You and I yell it. I mean, at 18, we're ready to what? See that money. There's cars to buy. There's stuff to do. There's, right? Places to go. Things to enjoy. Show me the money. There's just one major problem with that. You ain't ready for it. Neither was I. One of the worst things I have ever heard happen, and this was probably my parents' generation, one of the worst things I had ever heard happen to so many of the people that are my parents' age was they stepped out of college, they got a good union job, and a couple years later, what happened? Habits, things entered into life that they just couldn't keep track of, and it destroyed many, a young man especially. Why? Because they weren't ready for the freedom and the power and the temptation money was going to lay on them. I heard a guy once tell a story about, and this is not a knock, Toyota provides wonderful jobs, but I heard a guy that was ascending up into management there, and he made a comment one day. He quit, and he come to the fire department. He's like, I just knew it wasn't a place for me anymore, but they were grooming him for management. The guy's a killer worker. He's unbelievable. But he said, as he was getting into those things, he saw a pattern. A Toyota would pick a spot that was economically run down. They would come in, they would build a nice place, okay? Real nice place, and they would offer real nice jobs. And all of a sudden, about a year later, they would just let nature take its course because these people come in and they got nice jobs, and then what did they need? Well, I need a new house. So they got a mortgage payment. And then they would need what? A new car. So then they would have a car payment. Most of them, a really nice what payment? Not a car. Truck. Yeah, I need a four-wheel drive, maybe some bigger rims and tires. It's going to look nice. They'd have a truck payment. Then they would have a second what? Car payment. And then they would have this, and then they would just let nature take its course. So then, about a year later, when they walked in and said, hey, we're on mandatory overtime. Your 8-hour shift is now a 10-hour or a 12-hour. How many people you think threw a fit? Because what did they need? Come on, you all. Is there anything evil about that? There absolutely is not. It's very shrewd to operate that way. We're going to give something they need. They're going to run with it. And then when we come back in and demand more of their time. You ever talk to somebody that works at that plant? Their hours are pretty hardcore. And getting off is not an option. I'm just going to work my 8 today. Not an option. Because they could do that because human nature is human nature. And Solomon knew that. Let's read through it. Money with no wisdom is a road to bad decisions. Listen, when you and I love money, we are set up for failure in two ways. If we're denied it, we hate our lives. Listen to me very carefully. When you and I long for money and it's denied to us, we end up hating our lives and we end up hating the lives of other people that have what we want. Agree or disagree? If you can't look at your neighbor or your person at church and high-five them when they get the pay raise, high-five them when they get the new car or the nice ride or the nice house, you can't enjoy their blessings, you're falling for this trap. They get the pay raise, they get the promotion. If you can't high-five that and say, that is awesome. Your friend comes into school and he has the new Jordans on and you can't go, those are awesome. They got the nice clothes on. What you wanted. You can't go, that is wonderful. I am so glad for you. You can't do that, you're falling into this trap. Money is a trap in two areas. When we don't get it, we hate our lives and we hate the lives of other people. And when we do get it, we end up hating those riches because the cost, it turns out, is greater than the reward. You ever dealt with somebody that later on in life looks back and said, man, I had a good job, I made great money, but I spent a ton of time in the wrong places? It's rumored that Steve Jobs, right, Apple guy, right? It's rumored that as he was diagnosed with cancer and getting ready to die, he looked back and said, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. Now, this guy at the time of his death was worth $2 billion. $2 billion. If he wasn't happy with what was going on, what makes you and I think we're going to be happy? You look back and you have exchanged your life for money. What you've done with that money shows us the heart that you and I have and the way we deal with God. So you and I, we end up at the end of our life and we're angry because of what it cost, or we're angry because as soon as you got that new thing, it got a little dull. You know what they're going to do with that phone that you so desperately want? About 8 months from now, they're going to come out with a what? A new one. You know that car you love and you just have to have? You're going to get it, and then guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a payment for like 10 years. And they're going to have a new one next year that's got some really cool stuff that you wish you had. Or you're going to ding it. Huh? Boy, that shine comes right off, don't it? That thing was new 30 minutes ago, and then I hit a pillar, and now it's not new anymore. I rubbed the rim off of something. Right? Or, then it gets even worse. The love of your life is going to back into it. That's another story, baby. It's not you. It's not you. You did not hit my Camaro at church in high school. You did not. My mom was like, she is the only person in the world that could get away with that. Somebody's going to ding it. Somebody you love. They're going to open the door. They're going to bang it off something. That kid is going to swing it open. They're going to help you wash it with a rock. I'm helping, Dad. Wow. You're set up for, when you and I love money, you are set up on both ends to fail. If you don't get it, you're mad and you're hate-filled. You covet, right? There's a reason why covetousness is one of the Ten Commandments. Doesn't sound like a big deal until you really get down to the seed of it. What drives both the division in our country right now? Covetousness. I want what they have, or I want what they earned. I deserve it. Listen, it's running us ragged. There's a reason why God put it in the Big Ten. Mom and Dad, show me the wisdom. So if you and I are going to be handed these finances, if we're going to be handed this hunger and this need, because you have to make a living, and so do I. It's actually part of godly living to make that kind of job and effort. Mom and Dad, show me the wisdom. We start today in the Psalm. Psalm 37, 16 and 17 says this: better is a little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Mom and Dad, you want to show your kids something, show them the idea that whether you have a lot or a little, when you have the Lord, there's peace. We have so many people in our country that are struggling, and yet if you go around the world and you look at Christian brothers and sisters, people that are our family, I know we don't understand it because they look different and they speak a different language. A million years from now, they're our family, and they're living joy-filled, blessed, and peaceful lives with a fraction. When they wake up every morning and pray the Lord's Prayer, they really have to mean it. Give me today my daily bread. Lord, if you don't provide my needs, I am in trouble. There are people, there are Christian brothers and sisters around the world that pray that every day. And if God doesn't come through, they go to bed hungry. And yet here we are, here we sit. Moderately air-conditioned thing. It might be because I have a sweatshirt on, but I'm feeling a little sweaty. Right? Air-conditioned, covered from the elements, right? Vehicle, cars, homes, food. little money in the bank, a little 401k that's brewing and getting ready and these plans and these things, and yet we struggle. Parents, teach your children. Show them your finances. Stop hiding this stuff like anybody cares that you make 60 grand a year. Show it to them. Let them see how it gets divided out. Let them see what a truck payment is and a house payment. Let them see insurance. Let them see these things, because if they're 13, they're thinking about driving. And they better be thinking about that grand a month they're going to have to come up with. Car, insurance, gas. This stuff ain't cheap. Show them these things. We are leading them like lambs to the slaughter. At 18, they open up that thing out of the mail, and there's a credit card in there. Woo-wee! Sweet freedom. You mean you're going to give me money and I don't have to pay it back for like ever? No, that pay it back's like 30 days. I know you don't understand that concept. They're going to rip that thing open and go to town. And before they even open up the app on their phone, I would say before they even got the next statement, but again, I'm dating myself, it'll be run up through the stratosphere. And we have already hindered them by putting them in debt because we didn't look at them and say, listen, you need to know how this works. Psalm 62:10, put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Boy, DC could figure that out. The wickedness, the vileness, the idea of getting money from wicked ways is destroying the credibility of authority, the credibility of our government. And listen, now I'm on Facebook, and I try to be calm. Sometimes it gets the better of me. So like 2 days ago, the Senate passed a $96 billion bill to send your grandchildren's money. It ain't yours. Nobody even has a concept of how much money we're talking or how much we're in debt. Your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, the Senate robbed their future to send it halfway across the world so that they could blow it, steal it, make it disappear. $96 billion. Now, yesterday, a crazy guy in a newspaper talked about renaming Elkview. And I swear, if they would have known where his house was, they'd have showed up with pitchforks. Friends, we are inverted. Granted, one of them is really close. One of them is right here, and one of them is special to me and special to you and Elkview, and it really means something. Never seen an elk, but it really means something. We're here, and they're coming. Them elk are coming. They're going to be out Dutch Ridge in a couple years. But you would have thought that guy walked into these people's homes and changed their last name and slapped them around a little bit, just out of nowhere. And I'm thinking the day before, they wrote a $96 billion check and sent it around the world to be squandered. And nobody said a word. Look up the debt calculator one day. We are inverted with the things that are important. And money is important. And you and I should be holding people accountable, not just for what they think Elkview ought to be named. We ought to be holding people accountable for what they're doing with your money. Extortion, wickedness, all these things. We're reading from the Psalms. You want to know why we're reading from the Psalms? Because Solomon got his wisdom not only from God, but from his who? Father. Ooh. Psalm what? Psalm 37, Psalm 62, Psalm 119 were written from who? Somebody say David. Father of God did not just randomly, miraculously give Solomon this wisdom. Part of what he did was give him a dad that loved him and loved the Lord. In that, the wisdom of Solomon flows through. So we start in the Psalms. Why? Because these things need to be taught by dads and by moms. And I hear one more parent gripe about the idea that the public school system didn't teach your kid how to deal with money. I'm going to blow a gasket. Now, what I talked about last week, it's just as insane as being upset that the public school system didn't teach them how to do that. We are nuts. It is my job. Open the app. Open the statement. Show your children money. Show them interest. Show them God's perspective. Stop expecting other people to do it, because let me tell you something. They are doing it wrong. Oh, it didn't even have to. Man, y'all got it. They're doing it wrong. Why am I letting other people or demanding that other people get access to my children and teach them things that God teaches me to teach them? We start in the Psalms today talking about wisdom because Solomon not only prayed to God for wisdom, Solomon had a dad that taught him certain things. We've seen it in wisdom already. We started in Psalms that week as well. Psalm 119, 14 says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all the riches. Parents, you want to teach your children a powerful lesson? You teach them to love the Lord more than they pursue money. His goodness, His presence is worth more than every penny this world has to offer. Every penny altogether. And all the debt that we've stacked up on magic money brought in from China and then sent back to them. Like, it's a weird problem. It's worth more than every bit of that. Knowing God is worth more. It's why the poorest person in the world that knows Him and loves Him can be peace-filled, hope-filled, and joy-filled. Your Savior came, and He didn't come as a rich man. He came as a poor man. And He lived the best life that's ever been lived. Don't mistake it. Teach your children that. When times are lean, let them know. Some of us have problem with our kids because they don't understand the idea of a budget and they don't understand the idea that mom and dad might be struggling a little bit. Like, listen, I would love to be able to do this stuff that you want to do, but like we got, like there's a money thing here and it's got a cap and we're not printing it in the basement and we need to wait. We don't have it right now. We can't do it. Let me show you what's going on. If we would just be open and honest about some things, some of our problems would go away. Some of your children would actually be reasonable if you looked at them and said, we don't have the money for that right now. I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes, so we get to the point now in Solomon's life, at the end of his life, he says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. So Solomon lives his whole life, and at the end of it, he says, if you love money, listen, nobody had more money than Solomon, not even Steve Jobs. Nobody had more money than him, and he looked back and said, if you love that, if you pursue that, you will be let down. It doesn't matter how much you have. It is fleeting. It is aggressive. At times, it is mean and nasty. Proverbs 16:16 says this, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Friends, a wise life, a godly life, a biblical life has all of life's needs attached to it. These virtues open not only heaven's resources, but you know what else it does? It opens the hand and the will of God to have other people around you help provide your needs. God does that supernaturally. When I was 19, 20 years old in college, I had made a mess, an absolute mess with a credit card. So I speak from experience, right? You open that thing, it's like, man, it was like $9 a time at Fazoli's and Texas Steakhouse. How did it get to be $2,300? And what's this thing on here that says a limit of $2,000? Because that feels like I'm upside down. Wasn't making much money, going to school, trying to take care of things, and was paying down, right? And those stuff was just piling up. And the Lord did two things that were just amazing for me. Number one, I had a guy come in. Now, I was in the restroom at Gold's Gym. I was working for about 7 1/4 an hour. Guy comes up, stands next to me, you know where I'm at, and looks at me and says, the Lord told me to give you some money. Weird timing, but thank you. I was like, no. He said, listen, don't be a jerk. Now, this is the same guy that called me for years. And if he called me at 5:30 in the morning or he called me at 1:30 in the afternoon, when I answered the phone, he would say, you in bed? Yeah. Model the ant, thou sluggard. That's what he would yell on the phone. Get up, get moving. The Lord showed up that day. I needed a very specific amount of money. God told him exactly what I need. He showed up and he handed it to me, unbeknownst to me. The other thing that happened was the guy I was working for at the time. Now listen, a good name is better than riches and silver, and favor is better than riches or silver. If you step into life and you do what God tells you to do with the people around you, you love them, even those that don't know Him, and even those that may be semi-crazy. Because the one guy I worked for was wild. And so we're working, and I'm busting my tail. I'm working at the job, and I'm doing lawn care, and this guy's been good to me, but man, it just wasn't enough, right? And I was having some issues, and I was paying some stuff, and I had made an arrangement with him. He loaned me the money. He loaned me all that money. I mean, it was like $2,500, $2,600 bucks, and I wasn't making nothing, but he loaned it to me. You can pay me back with your check. All right, that's fine. So I did that. I made about half of the payments. And I walked in one time, and he gave me my check. And here's what I did. I turned it over, and I signed it back to him because it was all. The payment on that money was all of my check. 2 weeks of work, gone. Signed it back to him, handed it to him, said, thank you, I appreciate the help, walked out. About 10 minutes later, I get a phone call, and this guy was a hawking man. He was owned a Gold's Gym, was just a stud. He was a man's man. He called me crying. Don't make another payment. I got it. It's done. Now listen, if you have never been forgiven a debt like that, you have no concept of what grace is. Something insurmountable. And listen, if you're a Christian here today, whether you believe it or not, or whether you feel it like this, you were forgiven a debt like this. It was something you could not pay. You never had a phone call for somebody to say, you never failed, and somebody say, I love you, I forgive you. If you've never had that happen, you do not understand your Christian life the way you should, and it'll come. But man, he called, and I owed him like $1,600, $1,700, might as well have been a million. Dr. Falwell would say, whether you need $1 million or $10, it don't matter if you don't have it. And it might as well have been a million. He called me up and said, hey, do not pay me another cent. It's forgiven. It's over. And man, at 20 years old, just to be floored with that kind of grace. There's something about showing up and working hard that draws in other people to your life. And they want to bless you. Whether or not they know the Lord or not, you are of value to them. That's why a good name and favor are more desirable than gold or riches. Just show up and do what the Lord tells you to do. So show me the habits. So show me the wisdom. We do habits. Next week, we'll do good money, bad money. Wicked money, blessed money. That's next week. But show me the habits that build it, because they're in the Psalms, or they're in the Proverbs. Proverbs 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Now, one of the pastors I used to listen to and can't remember who it was might be Dave Ramsey. Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. So certain seasons in life, what am I supposed to be doing, man? Nose down, on the grind, making it work, right? Getting stuff done, making good decisions with my money, creating this plan, and then when I want to do things later, I can do what I want to do. But if I do what I want to do now, what happens later? Listen, some of us are making decisions in the wrong order, and at the end of your life, you're not going to be wanting to do the things you have to do because you didn't do now what you should have been doing. When you are physically able, when you are young and at it, listen, you should not be playing video games 20 hours a day, sleeping four, getting up and going to work. You should be working, married, having babies. Because you are physically ready for all of that stuff. God has given you a beautiful amount of time that you can make life work. And instead, we are washing it away in video games and silliness. You should be working, taking care of things, making a plan, executing it, married, building a life, having children. Listen, when you have children at, how old were we, 27 and 40? Right? 27, 22, 23 would have been easier. 27 was manageable. 40, holy moly. What is this kid doing? Why does this kid not want to sleep? What is this thing going on right now? This is torture. Like, I would give that kid any information he wanted right now if he'd just go to sleep. Right? At 40, there are other things that come in. Listen, part of this, if you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. This is one of the things in our culture about adolescence that's driving me crazy. At 28 years old, at 26 years old, you are a grown man. You are a grown woman. Get busy. Find a job, find a mate, build a life. Get going. Because there ain't nothing but squandering going on in those time periods when kids are running around at that age still being children. Trouble happens. You all know I'm right. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Your righteousness, your the way you're building your life are going to be a blessing in this life and the next. 14:23, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. And I read that and that hurt. In all toil there's benefit. Listen, friends, wherever you start right now, I've had this conversation with my kids, have it out loud right now. If you were to walk in to a Chick-fil-A at the age of 17, 18, show up on time, do your job, get there early, stay there a couple minutes late, you would manage one in 4 to 5 years and you would own one in 10. Now, if you don't believe me, talk to the guy out Southridge that now owns two. He's one of the nicest Christian guys you'll ever talk to. And you know where he started? At the Chick-fil-A in the mall in Lynchburg, Virginia. At the register. And now he's probably one of the biggest blessings in our community. I'm telling you, McDonald's, be the same way. Wendy's, whatever place you go to, put your hand to it like Jesus is standing behind you and watching how you act and interact. Put your hand to it like that and watch what happens. They will ascend you into the stratosphere just as fast as you can get there and be a part of that. In all toil, there is profit. Even mopping the floor and cleaning the toilets, there is profit. But mere talk tends to poverty. Show me the habits. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Friends, why? What happens when people win the lottery? Most of the time, what? It's statistically proven. They're broke. But wait a second. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. Money without wisdom is a curse. It's a road to bad decisions. Money hastily made is a disaster. Build plans, seek wisdom. Proverbs 22:9 says this, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. What's it mean to have a bountiful eye? What's it mean to have a good eye? What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? He makes the comments, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what is? The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, or your eye is good, or your eye is bountiful, the whole body is what? Good. Healthy. This is what Jesus says. These two things are not detached. They are attached. But if the eye is bad, the whole body is what? Full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Why is the idea of our eye smashed in between lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven and take care of the poor with the money? Why is that wedged in between there? Because it's in reference to how you and I deal with money. Whoever has a bountiful eye shares his bread. Whoever is a giver shares his bread with the poor. Jesus would further and say, when the eye is good, the whole life is good. How you and I deal with money shows our heart. It's a window into the soul. Jesus himself pulls it out that it is something we need to pay attention to. Why? Because if the eye is good, the whole body is good. But if you and I are stingy, friends, if you and I are stingy, if we are selfish, that is a character flaw we have to get through. It is a picture within the soul that will just curse us and those that come after us. Jesus said, if the eye is good, the whole body is good. And what he means is, if the eye is bountiful, the whole body is good. There is light there. Share what you have. Share it with your children. Share it with people you love. Sometimes you'll have an opportunity to share it with people that may not really appreciate it. Guess what? Give that glass of water in the name of Jesus. Let them see his generosity and his love in you and through you. Don't let stuff own you. Own it. Right? Love people, not stuff. Use things, not people. Proverbs 22:16 says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. The idea of giving to the rich is, I want a favor, so I give so that I can get. Proverbs 28:8 says, whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor. God is going to level all these bank accounts one day. And righteous people are going to have more than they could ever dream in this life or the next. You and I are making investments every day. You're making investments with your time. You're making investments with your money. You're making investments. And we're not just investing in this kingdom. We're investing in the one to come. Jesus said, not a glass of water given in my name. Some of you young ones, you may not have much to give. You got something to give. Give it. Give it to people that can't return it. Love people at school like nobody else does. Take care of their needs. Give them your strength when they need it. Give them your power. Give them your help. Give them your time or your money. It's a wonderful thing to see what happens when God gives money to people that it doesn't own them. One of the most beautiful things in the world is to see generous people operate. When churches get together and they're generous like that, the whole world changes. Countries change. When people do that, communities change and lives change. As they come this morning to pray and they come to play, if you need something, you come. But listen, you and I are products of generosity. We are products of God's generosity. The heart of God is mercy and generosity and grace. Who are you and I now to withhold those things from others that need it? We need to be mindful of what we do with our stuff. Do we own it, or does it own us? You know, there are so many things throughout our day that can ruin it, and a lot of times it has to do with stuff. Your shirt gets picked. Your car gets dinged. Your house has got a roof that's messed up. It's got a leak here. It's got something not done. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be cleaned up. And man, if we were to add up minutes that our joy and our peace had been robbed thinking about all this other stuff, I think you and I would be ashamed of the amount of time we gave effort to things that, man, it's just life. Moth and rust are destroying all of these things. Doesn't matter if they're new, if they're old. What can you and I do? Well, we can live a wise life. We can make good decisions with money. You and I can protect our time by protecting our money. Somebody needs to write that down, because that's good. That's good. You protect your time by protecting your money. Some of you are in jobs. Some of us are in jobs that we hate. We would give it up in a heartbeat if we could. But you know what we've done? We've spent the last decade making decisions with our money that have trapped us in a position where we have to have exactly this amount of money. Because if not, we're in trouble. So we're stuck. That's not the freedom God wants. I'm not telling you all that we all need to go sell everything, but I'm telling you, we need to be wise with how we operate moving forward, and we need to be generous. Whatever you've got to figure out how to be generous with it. Open your house to some people. Invite them over, feed them, take care of them. Drive them places in your vehicle. Love people well and be generous like God. As you stand this morning, if you need something, you come and you pray.